Welcome to the Pilgrim's Odyssey, your guide to life's wild ride. I'm your host, Silwan Green. Every day we share incredible stories and valuable lessons on life and faith. Thanks for tuning in and make sure to share this odyssey with your friends and neighbors so all of us together can let our light shine. Welcome, friends, to another episode of the Pilgrim's Odyssey. I'm your host, Silwan, and it is awesome to be with you today. I'm going to tell you a couple of stories which I am sure will bring a smile to my face and hopefully teach you a lesson or two, especially on this rainy Monday here in Indiana. The first is from my youth. My dad was a United Methodist pastor, and when I was a young kid and early in his ministry, he had lots of what were called charges, different churches. So he might have two churches or four churches that he had to travel around to, and it's because they were usually always very small, and they couldn't afford a pastor by themselves, and so he had to serve all of them. And I can remember as a kid traveling with him during the week to do office hours, going there on a Sunday to this small church, and the love, the unconditional love that I felt from those places, the community, the spirit of giving. I think more than anything, what that taught me, that church was about us serving church, us taking care of each other, us loving each other. It wasn't, what am I going to get out of church on Sunday? You know, those churches only existed because the people took care of them. The people gave money to them. They were there during the week. There was never this spirit of what's in it for me. What am I getting out of it? You learned pure humility from those churches. And without a doubt, growing up, it informed how I saw God, how I saw faith, service, humility, love, taking care of each other. Just a couple of years ago, I was driving up to northern Indiana. I was getting to do a talk at the Indiana Suicide Prevention Conference up in Valpo. And I had a bunch of time. I was early. And as I was driving up on the highway, I went by and I saw a sign for Hannah, Indiana. And Hannah was one of these small towns where my dad had served a church. Very small country town. You know, you drive in and you go over some railroad tracks and there's a big grain elevator and a few houses, you know, maybe 1,500 people. And I wanted to see if the church was still there. Hannah United Methodist Church. And, you know, not only was the church still there, it was just how I remembered it, lovingly taken care of. All of a sudden, memories of when I was young came flying into my brain, smiled. And there was a man there working on the church, and he was older. And I figured, hey, maybe, you know, he'll remember some of the people, some of the things when Dad was here, over 30 years before that, by the way, at least. And so I got out of my car, and I went to go talk to him. And sure enough, he remembered my dad. He smiled, said how much he loved him. He remembered me. He remembered my brothers. He remembered my mom. He started mentioning names of people that rang a bell in my mind. And what was he doing there? He was taking care of that church. He was serving that church. He was taking care of the yard. He was picking up trash 30-some years later. And it brought me back all those years to, as a child, that I was taught to be a Christian is to serve, to get down on your knees, to humble yourself, to not ask, what are you going to do for me, but to ask yourself, what am I going to do for others? Now, I found that same feeling years later. You know, I was an adult. I wasn't a kid going to that church. I was newly married. My wife and I were living in San Francisco. We had heard about this priest across the bay and been recommended we go visit him and meet him. So we drove over there, not sure what we were going to expect. But when we got there, we found out that this priest had a little monastic community, him and a couple other monks, and they lived in this little house in this neighborhood. I mean, just like this neighborhood of 1,500 square foot homes, nothing spectacular about it at all. There they were in this small home, and they were very kind, and you know, we asked him, you know, where they met, and their chapel was in the garage attached to the house. Small chapel. Remember driving away that first time, and we weren't quite sure what to make of it. You know, going to this house with this little monastic community in it. But my God, they loved us so much. They were so generous, and we came back. End up going there every Sunday for church, meeting in this garage. They found out at some point that, you know, all we had was a motorcycle. You know, we came a couple times on a motorcycle, and I think they maybe thought that we just were doing it for fun, but they found out we didn't have a car. And then they found out that my wife was pregnant with our first kid, and they just wouldn't have it that we would drive over the Bay Bridge and crazy traffic to get there. So they had this old Volvo 240 station wagon, old, over 200,000 miles. One of the monks there was an icon painter, in the back is painting stuff everywhere. And they sold us that station wagon for $600 so we wouldn't have to take the motorcycle. Or I should say, so my pregnant wife wouldn't have to ride in a motorcycle through traffic. They could care less about themselves. They needed that. They needed that station wagon. Lord knows what they paid to replace it with something. Every time we went there, it was never what we were going to do for them. It was always what could they do for us when they literally had almost nothing. Now, they grew. They now have a huge monastery in Northern California on like 500 acres. And every time I go visit, the spirit is the same. Even though they got a lot more mouths to feed, a lot more to take care of, a lot more responsibilities, when you go there, the only attitude they give is, what can we do for you? Now, obviously, that reciprocates, because then you begin to think, well, what can I do for you back? But in both instances, whether it was those small country churches of my youth, whether it was that little monastic chapel in a garage, they taught me that the essence of faith, the essence of church, is humility, serving others. And what I have found in my life, whenever I lose sight of that, whenever I see a church lose sight of that, you get away from what matters. It's biblical. It's one of those things we should read and we should know, but do we always practice it? In 2 Chronicles, in the Old Testament, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Think of some key phrases in that short verse. If my people will humble themselves, they will hear from me. One might argue, you might not hear from God much if you don't humble yourself. And if you do, it's probably not going to be what you want to hear. And humility starts down on your knees. It starts in service. It starts, what are we doing for our church, for our community, for the people around us? In Romans 12, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. You know, you go to that small country church, you go to that chapel in a garage, they don't care how much money you make. They don't care where you came from. They're happy you're there. They're happy they can serve you. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Romans 12:16. And then in Corinthians, but he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When I am weak, I am strong. Don't be proud. It's so easy to get caught up at church. How good's the preacher? How many people like him on Facebook? What's the choir like? What's the size of our Sunday school? I'm not anti-big church. Now, obviously, I favor smaller places of worship, but I'm not anti-big church. You know, there's immense possibility in a big church, but the danger of a big church is losing sight of the humility that really matters. Especially as a lot of us are going back to church, maybe some of us are looking for churches. Demand that. Talk about that. You know, a lot of people need ministered to now. A lot of people are questioning. A lot of people are looking for places to go. We do not want to attract them because our pastor is the best speaker, or we're the richest, or we're the shiniest, because that would be for the wrong reasons. We want to attract them because we have the most humility. You want to know a great way to gauge your humility? Who are you sitting with Sunday? Is it people just like you? Or is it people from all over the spectrum? You know, I love the word associate in Romans. You know, the way it was translated in the version I used. Be willing to associate with people of low position. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean like give money to the food bank across town and they're going to feed the poor in their area and you're going to be like, yeah, we associated with the poor? No, you gave money to a food bank, but you did not associate with anybody. Why don't you visit those people where they live? Find out what they need. Go to their homes. Minister to them. Why don't you invite them to your church? Why don't you feed them? Why don't you be friends with them? Why don't you mentor them? That's associating. Now is a great time to ask ourselves, whether we go to a big church or a small church. Small churches can fall victim to pride too. Small churches can get very insular, like a family where they don't want anyone else to be part of. It's not necessarily a size thing, but now is a good time to look in the mirror and ask ourselves, as human beings, as Christians, our churches, do we associate with people of low position, or do we just, in a sense, give them some money and put them out of sight and out of mind? God inspires us to repentance through humility. To live in harmony means we are willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. All of us can go astray. I forget those lessons of my youth. I don't serve my church like I should. I don't serve my family like I should. All too often, I ask, what are people going to do for me? I forget the lessons of that church chapel, that it does not matter what building is around you, what it looks like, how nice it is. That the only requirement to be in the presence of God is to get down on your knees and worship and serve. You know, I'm just going to end, you know, with one last thought of those stories and my memories in life. I've been in some pretty cool places. Seen some pretty cool churches all over the world, the Holy Land, here in America. But the two places that I have truly felt the closest to God were in those small churches of my youth and in that little chapel in a garage across the bay in Oakland. And I truly believe it was because in both of those cases, you were there. There was no pride. There was nothing flashy. It wasn't about me. It was about worshiping and serving God and being with a small group of people focused on doing the same thing. And there was no question he was there. There was no question the love that you felt. There was no question about your faith. Whether you go to a big church, whether you go to a small church, whether you're sitting at home listening to this, wondering where you're going to go, allow humility to lead you to that kind of place. And I promise you, the peace you find will be surpassed by nothing. You won't just have harmony with your fellow men and women around you. You'll have harmony with yourself. On your knees, in humility, listening for God, serving others. Be willing to associate with people of low position. Till next time, my friends, I want you to aim high. Spread your wings. Keep your eyes on the things that matter. I'm your host, Silouan. Peace. You've been listening to The Pilgrim's Odyssey. Make sure you comment, share, and like this podcast so all of us together can let our light shine. For books, videos, and more content from me, your host, please visit Silouan.com. That is Silouan, Silouan.com. Until your next visit on The Pilgrim's Odyssey, I'm your guide on life's wild ride, Silouan Green.